You've been listening to Education Matters, heard Saturday mornings at 10:30 here on WGTD. Archive programs are available on our website at WGTD.org. Support comes from Sylvan Learning of Kenosha, offering personalized tutoring from certified teachers that's designed to inspire, convenient scheduling, and affordable hourly rates. Explore the options, search Sylvan Learning of Kenosha, or call 262-694-6286.
This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that focuses on the concerns in the Tri-County area. It's hosted by Jane Herring, Marcia Connett, Joan Rory, and Ron Purty. Community Matters also shares its time slot with the 32-time award-winning WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's host.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Community Matters. I'm your host, Ron Purty, and today we're going to be talking about something very, very interesting. It's something that's kind of ingrained in our culture as of late, and it goes back as far as, like, running down the street with a wheel and a little stick to keep it going. We're going to be talking about video games and how they bring people together, and today with me, Ryan Madela.
Yes, sir.
And James Hauser from
Hello.
The Forge.
Yep.
And it's a new store. It has only been open, like, a week. At this point, by the time you're hearing this, it's probably much later. It's like a month.
Yeah, September 7th when we had our grand opening.
Okay, and basically the point of the place is there's a lot of collectibles, but you can also play retro video games there and new video games. It looks like too. I went down there this last weekend and checked the place out, and I bought a pin.
Oh, great!
Yes, I bought the last Jason Slasher pin
because
it was Friday the 13th, so I figured I had to buy something Friday the 13th related.
Awesome.
I was very tempted to buy that Ash. I will be back for that Ash.
It's still in there, I think.
Yeah,
okay.
He?
I think so.
We'll see.
He better be, or somebody's going to get a chainsaw. Yeah. But but yeah, and not only that, but they're also part of a podcast called Bad Movies Rule, which you can find on all of the podcasting networks. And so we're going to be talking about everything, how video games bring people together and bad movies bring people together, and you can get everything there at The Forge. Mm-hmm. So first and foremost, James, what was the first game you ever played? Let's get way back into it.
Yeah, so I was...
That kind of sucked you in.
Yeah, just to show my age, I was 6 years old in 1985 when I got my first Nintendo Entertainment System. And, of course, the first game I played was Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt, because that's what came in the box.
Right.
And I remember...
With the light gun.
Getting killed by the first Goomba that walks over to you and going, oh,
I'm supposed to jump on that?
Terrible at this, but yeah. I'm a first grader. What am I...
Right, and what about you, Ryan? What was the first game?
I was a little older. I know we were at a Christmas party at my uncle's, and my cousins were playing... it wasn't GoldenEye, but it wasn't one of the James Bond games. It was for PS2.
Oh, wow.
And
the world is not enough, is it? No.
I'm not sure
your
which one it was.
Your first game was a PS2 game?
Yeah.
I'm so old.
Wait till I tell you mine. So did you bring an extra set of diapers?
Well, I was older when I got into video games, though,
okay.
Because I was probably like 9 or 10, I think.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, because I remember...
Older than 6, at least.
Yeah. I remember I got the original Nintendo system, NES, and I remember that I was one of the first... group of people to subscribe to Nintendo Power.
Yes.
So they sent me a copy of Dragon Warrior. I love Dragon Warrior too, but I hate the fact that it became Dragon Quest because I can never find a good port of the actual Dragon Warrior.
Yeah.
And I remember I had a sleepover, and the guy that came over to sleep over had to beat Dragon Warrior for me because I couldn't do it.
Yeah, well, the first time I fought a green slime, I think I got killed, so, you know.
Oddly enough, speaking of bad movies, Green Slime is a horrible movie, and it was co-written by Bill Finger, who was one of the people who created Batman.
Well, that's an unfortunate name.
That's an... Well, yeah. Yeah. He also... died penniless thanks to Bob Kane.
Yeah,
that's
so I saw a documentary about that, I think.
Yes,
that
it was on Hulu.
Bob got all the credit, and poor guy. That's
it wasn't
right.
Until 2015 when Bill Finger started to get the credit for it, and it was on Superman, Batman, Dawn of Justice.
Yeah.
And it's like, could it be any worse of a movie to get your first credit on?
Well,
I mean, come on.
Batman versus
you
Superman.
Bleed.
We did a whole episode about that movie.
Oh, yeah, as you should.
Yeah.
As you should. Now, okay, so those first games, did they hook you immediately, or did you have to kind of get into it more to play?
No, the only thing that stopped my video game addiction was our being poor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that one.
So,
yeah.
Had we had any kind of money, I would have been flush. I would have been like Lucas in The Wizard, where I just opened up my case and been like, look, I got all the games.
But this is my power glove.
This is my power glove, which I could never afford to have.
So. Yeah, I never had a power glove either, which is funny because that goes back to bad movies. Because remember, the power glove was in Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare.
It was.
And they asked Nintendo for the rights to use the power glove, and Nintendo said no, and they did it anyway.
Well, I mean, the power glove was such a piece of junk. They should have had a moment where Freddy was trying to use it and it didn't work.
And he just ripped it off and threw it. Funny story about that is Rachel Talalay directed Freddy's Dead, and she worked with John Waters a lot. And the old woman on the plane... in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't say what she says because we're on the radio, but that was supposed to be Divine.
Really?
Yes, that was supposed to be Divine.
Wow.
But Divine died just a little bit before they began production.
Wild.
Huh.
Ryan has this look on his face like, I don't know what they're
I'm trying to catch up.
He just saw Nightmare on Elm Street, the first one, for the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were telling me on Friday that you just saw The Thing for the first time, and it blew my mind.
So we're trying to get him caught up to on the good movie side of things.
Got a huge back catalog.
Right.
After part four, when it comes to Nightmare on Elm Street, you can kind of like whatever until you get to New Nightmare.
Yeah, but those are still fun.
They're fun. Five is kind of like, okay, so here's the thing.
Which is the one where he's in the comic book dream.
Five.
That's five.
That's
five.
But the thing about it is it's like, it's so hard to watch that film, part five, and not be kind of grossed out, even after everything else you've seen, because the whole film kind of feels grimy.
It is grimy.
It's very grimy.
Yeah.
And
that's the one where he's on the motorcycle, too, right?
Yeah.
And stuff starts to attach to him.
Yeah.
And
it kind of looks like Tetsuo the Iron Man.
Yeah, it's gross.
Yeah. I know way too much about really bad movies. It's because I watched Joe Bob Briggs.
Oh, yeah.
But so those games kind of hooked you and sunk their, you know, their motorcycle claws into you, like Freddy, like poor Dan in the beginning of the Dream Child.
Yeah.
What made you decide to open up a store?
Well, it was a lot of it was actually this guy pushing us to do that. I mean, we had
Hey, violence never solves anything unless you're Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's fair.
That's right.
What about Stallone?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, his best stuff is the Rocky movies.
That's
let's
right.
be honest.
Yeah.
Okay. But, yeah, when we first looked at the spot, our previous lease for BMR, we talked about a storefront. I said, wouldn't that be cool if we could do a storefront someday?
And we were looking at the same location we ended up in now.
Yeah.
But someone beat us to it.
Yep. We didn't get in time, and then a year later, it came up, and our lease was up, and we jumped on it.
Right.
Just out of curiosity, what was the place that got it before you?
It was called the Water Lily. And it was another kind of
home decor
resale, which, you know, nothing against that. In fact, we have someone that's very close to us that does one of those shops, and it's awesome.
My wife.
And let's shout out Lou Berry's in Burlington. But
yeah,
there's also like five of those places in Burlington. And for us, we're like, well, we wish there were places that we want to go to in Burlington.
Right.
And so there's a shop
that aren't a bar or a restaurant. Because
yeah.
I noticed you guys are kind of like in this area where it's bar, restaurant, sports bar with food. And it's like, if you don't want to get diabetes or cirrhosis of the liver, go play video games.
Right, or buy a chunk of wood to hang on your wall. I mean, that's about it. But Campaign Plus opened a couple of years ago. It's another cool shop. Like, they do D&D and board games and Magic the Gathering, which is awesome. But not really anything about the video gaming side of things or toys and collectibles. And so Ryan was the one that was like, we got to do this shop. We got to do the store. And I'd kind of let that kind of die. But then when this opportunity came back up, so thank God Ryan was pushing that, because we really moved there for the podcast studio space in the back.
Right.
And now that we had this storefront, we're like, all right, what kind of place are we going to open? And that's where the fun started.
Yeah. And you guys have a lot of great collectibles out front, too. Like, I mean, I purchased something, and I don't like just – me and my money are not easily parted. You know, that's why when I got home, I was like, what parts of my body can I sell for that Superman hot toy? That's the only thing that I'm like I'll just buy whatever when it comes to Superman. That's just the way it is with me and Superman. But I actually bought something, and I'm waiting to put it on my jean jacket as opposed to my messenger bag.
Oh, that'll work well.
Yeah, because I'm one of those weirdos that wears denim when it's cooler out.
Hey, you know what? Denim on denim is coming back, so don't be afraid.
The Canadian tuxedo?
Yes. Don't be afraid.
If you want to look like Rausdauer,
you've
got to have the maple syrup hanging around your neck, too.
What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with Rausdauer?
No, what's wrong with looking like that?
Oh, I mean, well, I'm not going to have the mullet.
Yeah. You could.
And I should probably, my phone's making weird noises. But, Yeah, it's weird when you're like, oh, you just got a reply from somebody who writes for the New York Times. That's good.
Nice.
I'm just curious, as like, so you just got it for the plate for the podcast studio in the back.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you just opened, and I know I talked to you a little bit about this on Friday, and you said that the podcast basically takes care of everything. Everything else is just kind of sustainable on it. I mean, is it just added? It's just like the cherry on top of the sundae, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it gives us the ability. The podcast gives us the ability to incubate the business.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of these shops open up and then you see them close quickly. And
right.
I think part of that is just not having the runtime or the runway to really take off.
Like having some kind of a platform for them to kind of stay afloat.
Yeah, I think a business like this needs time because it's more about building a community of people that know it's there, that want to use it on a regular basis because it's really a hangout space, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
So without that other business in the back to pay the bills,
right?
You know, another version of this might not get the 5 years it needs to really get ingrained in the community,
right?
Whereas us, we don't have that pressure because the rent gets paid by another business. So it's funny you've mentioned that we've already had a couple people asking questions like, "You think they'll still be open it by November when I get back into town?" You know, because I want
right.
to stop by and see it. And I'm like, everyone kind of thinks we're just gonna fall off right away, maybe because of the type of business we're doing.
Well, I think I also think that this is going to help expose a little bit more that you guys are going to be there.
Yeah,
because it's if you really want them to be there, listen to the podcast.
Yeah, well, and that's
true.
That's just it. That's taken us 3.5 years to build, and that's going well and it's strong, and so we're not concerned about being able to keep the doors open at all.
And bad movies are not going to go away.
Oh, good. We have enough to do it till we're 90 years old.
It's overwhelming.
And
how
I was
many
telling
bad movies
them,
there are.
Yeah, and I was telling them beforehand. Check out the Neil Breen catalog. This man is, at one point, one of his movies. See, I'm a big fan of Red Letter Media, and they watch a lot of his movies. And one of them was almost to the point where he was almost like he was going to end up on a list because of, like, at one point he like talks about killing 300 million people. It's like, oh, so hashtag eyes on Breen, you know? And it's just. It's just really his movies are just, and he's like an architect from Nevada.
Okay, and so he said this in his personal life that he wanted to.
No,
kill
no, it was
people?
In the movie.
In the movie, okay.
But he's always like this super intelligent, super kind.
Yeah.
Like at one point, he just lives out in the desert with a bunch of satellite dishes, eating cans of tuna.
Sounds like a
very
bad movie
smart
filmmaker to me.
No,
yeah, I mean, it makes something like the Toxic Avenger look like Citizen Kane.
Ooh,
jeez,
yeah.
That might be too low.
It might be too low of a bar for. I mean,
look it up on IMDb.
Yeah.
Trust me,
right.
It is. Yeah, he is a laughingstock. He'll go to festivals, and that's the only way he wants people to see his movies. If you buy his movie from him, you get a CDR.
Hmm.
Really?
Yeah, and he'll tell people if they're showing his movie, it can't be past 8 o'clock. It's not a midnight movie.
Interesting.
People know when to laugh, which is all the time.
Well,
wow.
Yeah, I think that's where.
It's like The Room or something.
Oof.
Oh, man. Because
well,
like,
hi, Mark.
For our show, a lot of what we do is try to find movies that there's an earnestness to what was made.
Oh, these so, he 100% believes in what he's doing.
I gotcha.
That's
a
special ingredient, though. Ryan's right.
Yeah.
Because if they're making movies, and there's a lot of these out there now that people make them bad on purpose, you know,
right.
Like Velocipaster or
yeah.
Sharknado, where it's like they're trying to make schlock. On
yeah.
purpose, and that doesn't really work well with what we do because they're not trying to make the ones that set out to make Gone with the Wind and end up with, you know, Jim Cotta.
Yeah,
those are the best ones for us to talk about.
Right. Well, and that's the thing is like what scares me about that philosophy though is people
yeah.
like Donald Farmer,
yeah,
who make Shark Exorcist and Dorm of the Dead, where it's basically he's going out to try and make a really good movie. That just has a lot of nudity and violence because he's a dirty old man.
Right. Yeah, that's not really the type of films we get into.
Yeah, it's not. It's not good. Like I remember I watched Shark Exorcist, and I was like, "This is just even for me." Like I enjoy watching Birdemic.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, that's
you know. Yeah, because
ridiculous.
James Wan actually went out of his way to try. Thought he was making a Hitchcock movie.
Right. Right.
But no. No. This is like eyes on Farmer.
Well, even like
Farmer.
Even like Tommy Wiseau with The Room thought he was James Dean and you know doing something really important. You know.
Yeah.
But,
and what people don't realize is it was shot on film.
Yeah.
Which is even more. I mean, I don't know where he's getting his money from because I don't know. If people don't know, shooting on film is ridiculously expensive.
Yeah. And he's. from what I've heard, independently wealthy from some kind of secret side thing he's had going for a long time. He's never really disclosed the source of his wealth.
They kind of touch on it a little bit in The Disaster Artist.
Do they? Okay.
Yeah, he goes to the bank and he just asks for money, and they look at him like, what? And his account's got like all these zeros.
Yeah.
And they're like, what?
Yeah, right.
What? I'm through with this world. So you guys must be a big fans of like Riff Trax, MST3K.
I grew up, I don't know about you, Ryan, you can talk to it, but I grew up with, you know, trying to fall asleep late at night to Comedy Central running reruns of Mystery Science Theater 3000, you mm-hmm. know, the 1 a.m. movie of Gamera or
right.
you know, whatever it was on. Manos, Hands of Fate,
oh,
you know.
Manos,
that kind of
the
stuff.
Hands of Fate.
I love those guys. Not just the original, you know, Joel and the guys that turned into Riff Trax with Mike Nelson and all that, but
right.
even the newer stuff they've been doing with the new cast on Netflix. And the reboot of that, I any kind of movie riffing, I'm there for it, man. You ever watch Mystery Science Theater?
I've never seen it.
My brother.
Honestly, I
get out.
I think what really got me involved was you were telling me about. We were at Mueller's at a bonfire, and you were telling me about the show. You were about to launch it, and I was thinking about it for like a while, and I finally was like, okay, I've got a movie. If you ever do this on the show, it's Equilibrium. Let me know, and I'll come on.
Yeah.
And about 6 months later, you told me, hey, Equilibrium's up. You're going to come on. And I think it's more just a bad taste in movies that got me involved in this. Because I love a lot of these movies that, you know, you'll see this like passion from the people that love them, the hardcore fans for these movies. I mean, Buckaroo Banzai is a good example of a movie that objectively is not very good. But you have
that movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
There's people out there that love it,
yeah.
right? And so that's where we're trying to take these movies that everybody's putting them to the side saying it's
when
trash.
I say everybody, I mean like your
critics.
Standard critics, movie critics, you know, they're obviously a cult fan base, but there's a divide between people that have said, no, this is garbage, and people say, no, this is amazing.
Well, yeah, like
right.
you're going to get your Joe Bob Briggs that say it's amazing, and then
right.
you're going to get Siskel and Ebert that are saying it's horrible.
Right.
And, I mean, you can't really trust Siskel and Ebert because when it comes to, like, Friday, the original Friday the 13th, I don't know if you guys know about this, they actually gave out Betsy Palmer's address.
Did they?
Because
Whoa.
They said, you know, they didn't give out her exact address, but they said what city she lives in, and they said send it to the like the mailing address there. Because we think that she needs to be told how bad she is for taking this movie. It's like it was a
okay.
small town, so it wouldn't be hard to find her.
That's
That's dirty.
That's a little bit a little bit harsh. But yeah, there's definitely a disconnect with critics. And that being said, anytime we do any movie, whether it's Buckaroo or Equilibrium is another good example, right, of a cult movie that people really like that has its objectively stupid moments. Any movie we do, there's always people that are mad, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how could you even think about talking about Buckaroo Banzai on your show? That's a great movie. It's not a bad movie because the name of our show, right?
Yeah,
I don't know. It's not that we have a movie on our show to discuss. It's not us saying it's bad. It qualifies for our show because by some objective measure, it's been called bad by
mm-hmm.
critics or the audience score or whatever.
Right.
And then we'll make our own determination, you know. But it's at least worth discussing. Is this actually trash? Or, hold on, no. This is redeemable for these reasons.
Right, right. It's not like an Evil Dead where you look at the special effects
right.
and you're like, objectively, they're kind of,
right.
except for the end stuff with the stop motion.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it's objectively, the special effects are kind of meh,
yeah.
but the story in and of itself is fantastic,
yep.
and you got Stephen King saying it's the horror film of the year.
So
you know?
Another great example of exactly what you just described, which we have been butting heads for a year about, is The
Here
Last Starfighter. Okay, I don't know if you ever saw The Last Starfighter.
I love The Last Starfighter.
Right. Now, he had never seen it, and so we have the benefit of nostalgia, and we've probably seen it since
we
were kids.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic story.
Mm-hmm.
Married with someone coming in fresh, what looks like the worst CGI maybe of all time, without knowing it's the first CGI of all time.
Right.
right? But still, it looks terrible, like running it on an Atari, you know, 2600 or whatever.
Right.
But, so he hated it.
Yeah. I had a really hard time with
it. But the story, and I'll acknowledge it's super dated. Okay?
It is.
But I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did say that I will watch it two more times to try to give it, because there's been some movies that we've done on the show, and I watch them a couple more times, and at first I hate it, and then after seeing it a few times and getting more familiar with it, it kind of grows on you.
When they're talking to Big Bad in that one scene when he first gets into space, he brutally murders someone. I mean, come on. How can you not like this movie? It's awesome.
It's great.
You know, it's
what are we going to do? We die.
I liked that scene.
That was great.
I also did like Beta.
Beta's great.
I mean, and then like
should
how
I stick my tongue in your
robot version
that's
of Mother Earth.
It's
so good. I mean, there are a lot of movies that I love that would people would objectively refer to as bad, like Trancers.
Trancers. I'm so glad you said this. So, I'm a little bit annoyed with our patrons. We have every month we give our people on Patreon a chance to vote for what could be an episode, and they get six choices.
Let me guess. Trancers has been on it. Nobody votes.
No one votes for Trancers.
People, listen to me right now. If you want to see Helen Hunt in what is like probably her first movie role, and she's actually better than 90% of the cast.
And Tim Thomerson's great.
Yeah,
I love
Art
that
LaFleur
guy.
Is
Art
in it.
LaFleur's in it. Come
yeah,
on.
I mean, and Aunt Rachel from Family Matters is in it.
Yes,
I mean,
they made six Trancers movies.
Well, Part Six isn't that great.
Well, but still, like, how bad could it be? They made six of them.
Yeah, the first one's fantastic, though.
Yeah,
I mean, and the way that they did time travel with no budget Charlie Band, I mean, say what you will about him, the guy knew what he was doing.
Yeah, or even Doll Man was
another
one that we couldn't get through but then they'll put through stuff like Slapstick of Another Kind with Jerry Lewis and Madeline Kahn, and it's like, you vote for that, but you won't vote for Trancers.
People.
That was a meme. They were memeing us on that one, though.
Listen to your Uncle Ron, okay? You have to vote for Trancers because this movie is fantastic. I mean, it's the way they handle it. I often wonder, because you guys know your comic books to a certain extent, right? You could argue that they use the same method in Trancers as they did in Days of Future Past to send
down
Kitty
the line.
Pryde. Yeah, down the line. Yeah. That's exactly what they do. Your body stays in the future and your essence goes down.
Which is a great way to do it with no budget, too, because then you don't have to have all the fancy, you know.
Until Part 3 when they get R.A. Mealoff to play the giant shark guy.
So I've only seen the first two Trancers.
Oh, the third one's great.
Yeah, okay.
Because you get the guy who plays the dad in Hellraiser.
Oh,
he's the bad guy.
Nice.
I forget his name, but you know, come to daddy. That's okay. I'm sorry, folks.
No,
I know this
okay.
is 11 o'clock in the morning. You're listening to this, and some weird guy just said that. But
they don't want to talk about Trancers. So I don't know.
Come on, watch Trancers. I'm sure it's. You know what? I'm gonna look this up while we're here because I want to know. I think it's on Tubi.
Oh, it is because I watched two of them. The second one is the one where his wife comes back, but in a younger body, and Helen Hunt's
it's
all
even
jealous.
On Peacock.
Yeah, oh, how about that?
Yeah, go figure.
Now you guys have no excuse.
No excuse whatsoever, especially if you're a wrestling
fan.
You too. I know you have Peacock.
Go watch Trancers.
I have so many movies on my list.
Trancers,
I can bump
it to
the top if you want.
No, it's fine. Before you get to that, you have to rewatch Last Starfighter.
Yes,
I know.
Because Last Starfighter is amazing.
I can't believe I did that.
Which ties into going back to the Forge.
Yes.
I want to get into the whole mechanics behind being able to play these games. Now, I know you pay a bit of money, a very small pittance, as it were, to play these games. And it's, did you say it's $5 for everything during the week, and then it's $10 for
new consoles
for
on
new,
the weekend.
Yeah, on the weekend. Yeah. So when it comes to like the I Got Next list, okay, how long do you have to play? Like, if you're playing and somebody goes up there and writes their name on it. And it's on the console you're on. If you die, you have to pass it off.
Correct.
Now, how long does the money that you put down last?
So if you were to come in and pay for, like, let's say it's Saturday, you pay your $10, you're good all day.
Oh, okay.
So it's for the whole day. It's an entire day pass. Students also are always $5. And that we even bumped it down so that with tax, students are $5. That way they can come in and give us a $5 and they're good.
Right. I'm a student of the School of Hard Knocks. Does that work? Well, okay.
Yeah.
You can try, right? And then what kind of, like, the newer systems do you have? Because I know I saw a regular Nintendo, a Super Nintendo, and an N64.
Correct.
And I like the N64 is hooked up to that giant CTV that I looked at it, and I'm like, my back is killing me just looking at this thing. Because we have two in our basement.
Well, see, that's why we only had to pay $20 for it, because the lady just needed someone to lift it out of her basement. She couldn't get it out herself.
No,
so.
I looked at that thing, and it's like,
Yeah.
Like in Family Guy, whenever Peter hurts
his
knee.
Hurts his knee.
Yeah,
yeah,
it got to that.
We've got those are our retro systems. Right. We have some that we haven't put out there yet. We've got a Genesis and a PS2 and a Dreamcast is on the way, going to be delivered this week, and an Atari. But we've also got the PS5 and the and the Xbox Series S and the Switch and all the modern stuff. And I don't know if we're going to get the new PS5 Pro. That's ridiculous. Would you see what they're charging for that?
Like $600
wasn't it? $700
Ouch.
But not that much more.
I haven't even gotten the actual PS5 yet. I couldn't afford it. And then when I could afford it, I couldn't find it. And then when I could find it, I couldn't afford it. So my brother, luckily my brother got his for free.
Gotcha.
Nice.
Because I went and picked up someone from jail and they said, here, I don't use my PS5. You can have it.
So the plan is to always keep the modern systems plugged into the big TVs, and then on the retro TVs, we'll rotate what retro systems are out there. Right now, it's all the Nintendo systems, but that'll rotate. So.
Okay, and I do know when I was there, I was looking through the SNES games that you have available, which isn't a huge amount right now, but I'm sure it's going to grow.
We'll build it over time.
There was one game not there, and I would have not done what I needed to do the rest of the day if that game had been there.
Well, hit me with it.
Money.
What was it?
Spider-Man Venom Maximum Carnage.
Yes, with Maximum Carnage, yes.
The red cartridge.
Yes, the red cartridge. Fantastic game.
I love that game because you get Spider-Man, Venom, Captain America, Cloak and Dagger, Carnage, Shriek, Spider-Man with the six arms. And
one of the things that the Super Nintendo did much better at was superhero games, because almost all the superhero games for the regular Nintendo were terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I saw that you guys had the original Turtles game, and I almost had a heart attack. I'm like, no, get it away!
It's from the water level. Everybody has PTSD from the water level.
Yep.
Like, why do turtles drown? It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. And how can that stuff electrocute them? Their shells are supposed to protect them.
I know. Get out of here with that. At least all the other ones, because we did get Turtles 2, which is more like the arcade version.
Right, but, and I will say that I got into an argument with someone once on a podcast about which is better, Separation Anxiety or Maximum Carnage, and I stick with Maximum Carnage being the better one, and to this day, they're the only two games LJN ever put out that were good.
LJN. Shout out to the angry video game nerd. The LGN games, he just destroys them on his YouTube show, and it's hilarious.
I don't feel the same about James Rolfe.
You don't like James Rolfe?
I don't like James Rolfe.
Oh, that's my guy.
And I'll explain out the air why.
Okay, that's fine.
To
each their own.
Yeah, I used to be into it, but then it kind of got... Now he's just cursing the curse at this point.
I haven't seen a lot of his...
Terrifier in the movie Terrifier, where it's just violence and gore for violence.
Seen a lot of his recent stuff, but I'm talking about when he first,
Oh, the early stuff. And I actually I downloaded the Castlevania collection for PS4.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? I'm gonna stream Simon's Quest. I made it 5 minutes into that game before turning it off. Super Castlevania instead.
Yeah.
And I just went back to start playing Symphony of the Night.
There you go.
And that beginning sequence with Dracula is so funny.
Oh yeah.
It's hilarious.
I remember peeing my pants first time I got to Dracula in Castlevania.
When it comes to the original Castlevania, the Medusa heads, they knock me out every time. I can't get around them.
That was like 10 years old when I did Castlevania. If I went and played it now, I probably wouldn't make it 5 minutes either.
See, and that's the thing, I think we're spoiled by the graphics and everything.
Yeah.
And kids don't understand. Back then, it was just two buttons to do everything.
Wait, and you got your kids to try some of these games.
It was kind of funny. My son thinks of them. He's very good at like Rocket League and, newer games.
Yeah.
And he's 7 years old, but he was trying Mario, Super Mario.
Right.
And he was struggling, and he was like, Dad, why is this so difficult? This is real video games, bud.
They didn't hold your hand back
no.
then.
No. I'm gonna say a video game title, and I want you guys to tell me what you think on a scale of 1 to 10 how hard it is.
Okay.
DuckTales.
Oh, I love DuckTales. It's a 7 or an 8.
Yeah.
For me. Yeah.
Because figuring out how to jump is ridiculous.
Yes, it's pretty
ridiculous.
Hard. But
a
great game.
Oh, yeah. No, it's fantastic.
The easier version of that game that's just as good as Rescue Rangers.
Yes.
Yes.
I downloaded the Disney collection, and they're all in there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I was watching a documentary on the devs for Dead Cells, and they took a lot of inspiration off of old-school platformers, but on modern, modern hardware. And one of the things they did was actually add extra frames for your jump. So even if you miss the jump, there's you have like two frames on the screen to catch of grace. Yeah, because they, as they would practice it, they were like, we need it to stay fun. And it's a high speed game, so the whole goal is to play through. He's never played it yet.
No.
I've been trying to convince him to try it.
Speaking of games like that, you got to try Broforce.
Never played Broforce.
I haven't played that one either.
Good. It's only $5. And it's, okay. It is so good. You start off as Rambro.
As you would.
Yeah, and then obviously. You unlock people. And, I mean, you can play as Ash. You can play as Dirty Harry. You can play as Bruce Lee. You can play as the Bride. You can play. Obviously, they don't have any of the licenses.
Hold on.
It.
What's it called?
The Broforce.
Is, right, the real question is Arnold in it?
Yes.
Oh, all right. Well, done.
Twice. He's twice. In there as the Terminator and as Commando.
Perfect.
And Walker, Texas Ranger.
Say less.
Do you want to make money? That's how you make money.
Exactly.
How much money do you want to make?
A lot.
We'll put Arnold in it. We'll give all the money together. Let's go.
And then I'm going to be on a card in the video game shop in Burlington.
That's right. Here we are now. Come to the forge. Do it.
Yes.
You're not going to get me to do it. I can't do it.
And then who else is? Oh. Charles Bronson has Death Wish is in it. Oh,
nice.
I don't remember, but
they're all knockoffs. You said because they don't have
licenses. Yeah, it's like Rambro and the Brominator and stuff like that. And it's a total '80s throwback, like video, like movie wise. Like,
yes.
You know, and at the end, the president is Clinton, and the final boss is literally Satan.
Oh, jeez.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's and at one point he does look like the Bighorn guy from Legend.
Oh, nice. Tim Curry.
Yes.
Nice. That's
awesome. But
that's a good movie.
He's seen some things.
He's some things, yeah. Yeah. you sound like a... I go to the comic book shop I go to, the guy goes... Not that... One of the customers, he's like, I'm never going to watch Planet of the Apes. Like, why? Because, no, and I'm never going to watch Barbie. Like, why aren't you... Barbie wasn't actually bad.
Yeah.
I mean, especially if you watch it with Oppenheimer.
I liked Oppenheimer. I did like the Apes movies.
Yes.
I have a hard time going to see Barbie, but...
I waited till Max.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
Yeah, I don't have to worry about anybody seeing me going to Barbie.
But I'm with you for about 80% of what you just said.
Yeah, I mean, and the Apes films, for me, they get... the first one's amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm still a sucker for Beneath the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. Yeah. Escape is kind of meh. And then you've got Battle for and Conquest of the Planet. I think those are great.
Yeah.
When you get Ricardo Montalban in one. Yeah, that was fantastic. And if you want to see me talk about all these, just head over to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/I'm Uncle Ron.
There you go.
There's actually a 70s movie exec in that.
Nice.
That I play, who gets trapped in a film canister.
Oh, wow.
Because he was going to crap all over Escape from New York, Escape from the Planet of the Apes.
Got it.
Because, you know, Sal Mineo was in it for literally 4 minutes.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Poor Sal Mineo.
Poor Sal.
And then they kill him. Spoiler alert for a 50-year-old movie.
Now it's ruined.
Yeah, right?
I'm not even going to watch it now.
Like, I was watching Family Guy, and I'm catching up on the stuff I missed, and I watched their Empire Strikes Back episode.
Yeah.
And Stewie, when he's about to say that, you know, I'm your father, he's like, spoiler alert! It's like, yeah, because nobody knows that. So let me ask you this. When it comes back to the video games, what do you think about video games brings people together? Is it just, I mean, games in and of themselves, like you always hear people having game night and stuff like that. But what about video games? Because you have to invest a lot, like money-wise and all that, to be able to play them.
It's a joint experience, I think. It's something that people can easily do together and experience together, and almost inevitably funny things are going to happen.
Mm.
And, you know, it's something we used to do together, and now we have, and I say we, I just mean people in general, have become more insular in their entertainment and their gaming, and it's more, you know, doing it by yourself or online through headphones. And so I think what we're trying to do is just give people an opportunity to do more couch co-op, to sit next to somebody, and ideally that's the kind of games are going to come in and play something with someone else. Not that you can't come play single player games at the Forge, but I think doing stuff together builds friendships, and I'm hoping that's what happens here. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, no, a big part of it is, how hard is it to make friends as an adult? Right,
I mean, it's really hard.
It's tough
unless you're an alcoholic.
Right,
that's
if you want to go to the bar, yeah, that's about it, right?
But, and you don't have to go far for a bar if you leave the forge. Once you walk out of the forge,
it's true.
No, they have them.
But as an adult, that's difficult. And how many people just in Burlington are playing the same games that we love to play? I mean, we have a great time playing Fortnite, and we've intentionally avoided going too hard on talking about it on the show and stuff. But it's funny because the patrons just kind of were figuring out on the Discord that we actually play, and they were really excited about it. Because, like, hey, I play that too. And so that's a really good example of it's just – you never really know what someone else is into with gaming or movies or different things and who is into it. And so meeting new friends and spending time together in person is a huge part of it.
Yeah, and say what you want about Fortnite, but as a social experiment, it is fantastic.
I didn't say anything. I grumbled.
No, but I'm just saying. I know it has its all that baggage attached to the name Fortnite, but as a social experience, it's really successful.
Yeah, then you get, like, I remember, usually when I play video games now, it's attached to streaming on Twitch.
Yeah.
And when I'm streaming, I made my brother my moderator because he's just in the other room.
Yeah.
So I can get to him and tell him I need that person banned, et cetera,
right.
When, because there's always that delay.
Right.
So I've been playing a lot of Call of Duty Mobile. Okay. And for whatever reason, it brings in all the trolls. I don't know why. I don't play against them. It's they come into the Twitch chat and they start stuff, and he's real quick on the ban hammer.
Some games have toxic cultures.
Call of Duty is one of them.
100%. I don't know why. But
I don't know why either. No. And I guess they're releasing, I think it's out now for $10 on the PlayStation Store. You can buy the campaign for Modern Warfare 2. Just the campaign. And that's all I want. I don't want to have to.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm as great as playing with other people is. I still kind of long for those one player things where it's just like I just want to do this. I remember being late for school once when I was in elementary school. My mom forged a doctor's note. It's too late now. I'm 45 and she's dead. So go ahead.
Yeah.
So I could be late to school because I had to finish Mega Man 3.
Hey, respect.
There you go.
You
know. And you couldn't save it, right?
No.
So that's just
At that point, I couldn't save it, no.
And as far as the toxicity goes, because there is a bit of toxicity around video games with people, you know, maybe that's what drove people to do it by themselves. But part of the Ford, like, right, I don't know if you saw it when you were in there, there's this big sign with the rules on it, right? And it's the first thing is respect each other, right?
Right, right.
And
I broke rule 6. I spit all over the place.
Like, no spitting.
Yes.
Yep. No swearing, no spitting.
Did that actually happen? Like, people spit on people? No.
Well, you know, we just put it on there more to be funny, but I'm sure it happens.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you were saying, you know, when we were talking about bringing people together playing video games, I remember one time we were pre-gaming before we went out to the bar. And we were sitting there playing Madden, you know, when Madden was good.
Yeah.
And we're just like, we're slamming beers and we're playing Madden and we're yelling at each other and stuff. And that was more fun than going out.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right.
Just buy a 30 pack. They're not expensive.
And so it's not like we're saying you can't trash talk your friends, especially if you're on the couch playing Madden in the Forge.
Right.
But there's a difference between playful trash talking and, you know, things that would be hurtful, right?
Yeah. So. Oh, that's the thing, is a lot of people get really hurtful in today's environment because they're all, and I hate to use this term, but they're keyboard warriors because you don't have to say it to somebody's face. You think you can get away with things.
And just because we're in person, I think we'll solve a lot of that, because I think there are a lot of people that aren't going to want to do it because they're there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll help a lot.
Right. Yeah. I remember I was telling you this when I used to work at Funko Land. He didn't remember Funko Land.
Oh, wow.
See? So back in the day, and I worked the Dreamcast release.
Yes.
And you could not imagine the amount of mothers I had to say, don't buy a Dreamcast for your kid because they were like 6.
Yeah.
Like, do they throw their discs around? Yeah, then don't buy this for them because you cannot buff out these discs.
No.
You wait a couple months, the PlayStation 2 is going to come out.
Yeah.
Get that.
I loved my Dreamcast. Loved it.
My brother, when we first got our stimulus check, the first one, that's what he used it on, to buy a Dreamcast and like 30 games.
I was so bummed when Sega drove that thing into the ground. I think it was as good, if not better, than the PS2. And if it had been run properly, it could have competed with it.
Yeah, I remember we used the Dreamcast at Funko Land. We had the big display for it. Yeah. We would just use it to play music in the store. Yeah. We were the worst Funko Land on the planet because we would tell you, don't buy that, it's garbage.
Right.
You know, because we cared more about the customers and them coming back because we're being honest with them than we did about our sales, to be honest. Oh. And I'll sit there eating French fries playing Power Stone while someone's looking and asking questions. Yeah.
Power Stone's so good.
You look so sad.
I am sad. Soul Calibur on there is so good. Power Stone.
Code Veronica
was
great.
Code Veronica.
Yep.
The original Sonic Adventure was fantastic.
Yep.
Even the NFL 2K games were incredible.
You're going to break my heart with those 2K games. Those are the best football games on the
C-Man.
Planet.
I had C-Man with the microphone. Yep. And you talked to him. Yep. It was the system ruled.
Wasn't Shenmue on that?
Shenmue was, one and two.
Yes. Shenmue drives me nuts, though, because I can't do things in real time.
Yes.
It's like, why don't I just go out and live my life? What am I sitting here behind a TV where this guy's like, I'm going to make tea now.
Yeah, I loved it, but yes. I don't know.
It's not for everybody.
If it holds up now, but yeah, at the time.
I heard there was something, there was talk about a Shenmue 3.
There were supposed to be six of them, like the whole story.
Jesus, Murphy.
I know, it just died. It was just a tragedy. I can't talk about the Dreamcast. I'm too emotional about it. You got to play it.
What's funny is I was working that day, and it was my first big day. And the manager of the store was this guy. He was one of those 80s rockers with the big, long mullet and the big gut.
Yeah.
And he actually had to go in the back 20 minutes in and change his shirt because he was sweating so much. We had a line around the thing.
Yes.
Because you said you used to live in Racine.
Yeah.
It was the GameStop or the Funko Land over by where Bed Bath & Beyond used to be. I wasn't in the mall. That one's gone, though.
Gotcha.
And so we had a line going all the way down to the golf store.
Awesome.
Yeah, and I remember waiting in line and at for other stuff after it became GameStop, like Destiny and Red Dead Redemption 2, and I've just been playing Red Dead Revolver, which is so good.
Dude, that's great too. The original one, it was on rails though. Kind of, it was like an on rails shooter, if I remember right. The first one.
Yes and no.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends because there were moments like I'm stuck in a part now where you have to jump over certain things as the train's coming.
Yeah.
So it's
There was the Dreamcast had memory cards in the controllers that. Where it had its own screen and games inside of it. Dude, it was crazy.
And I just read a report that Sony's actually beginning production on the PS6. So it's like, can I get my PS5 first? Because I want to play RoboCop.
I know. RoboCop Detroit. What's it called?
Rogue City or something?
Rogue City.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, I want to play that. But I feel like the console windows are shortening. It used to be like, I remember 360 lasted a decade.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
You know which one's not shortening? Is the Switch.
The Switch. No. Nintendo's like, hey, we're doing this every 10 years, and that's about it. Leave us alone.
And they're the only ones that like have any love for their older games, really.
Yeah.
You know, but okay, so we're going to have to wrap up here in a little bit.
Sorry.
So that's fine. This has been a fun chat. What's the exact address of the Forge? I know it's on Milwaukee Avenue. That's about all I know.
517 Milwaukee Ave.
Okay, you're I know where this is.
Thank you. I just blanked.
Yeah.
I saw your face. You were like, oh, no.
And what are your hours currently?
So it's 10 to 4, or 10 to 6, rather. 10 to 6 Wednesday and Thursday.
Yep.
Fridays are noon to 9 p.m., and Saturdays are 10 to 4.
Oh, yeah, okay. So we're open Wednesday to Saturday, close Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm glad we caught you today then. That's perfect.
Yeah.
See, look at that. Yeah. So. And you guys, the podcast has been going for 3 years.
Yes.
Now it's on YouTube and Spotify and all that.
It's mainly an audio podcast, so it's made for Spotify, Apple Podcasts, any podcast platform that you have. But there are people that want the video version.
Right.
It's not our bread and butter, but that is available on YouTube if you want to stare at our ugly faces while we talk about these movies.
I don't think I saw you on the newest one.
So we have a group of about 12 people. And so it's a four-person table, and so it rotates. James is kind of the keystone person for it, but then you'll see different faces throughout, and we mix and match to help keep it interesting.
And I told you, when you guys do Dawn of the Dead, the original, I want on.
Okay.
Because that movie is so good.
Perfect.
I love that movie so much.
Yeah, I want to shout out those guys because we got, Kurt and Joe and Clint and the other two Ryans and
Mel.
And Mel. Can't forget about Mel and Nicole and Bob.
Yeah, please don't forget about Mel.
You know, these my daughters now are a big part of it.
Steph
has jumped in, and these guys, we have about 12 people that rotate through every month, and it's part of what I think makes the show work is our dynamic, so it's really, really good.
Awesome. Fantastic. Yeah. So I want to thank you guys, James and Ryan from Forge, for being here. It's been a blast talking about bad movies and talking about video games and why they bring people together. And I'm Ron Pertee, and you can find me on social media at I'm Uncle Ron everywhere, and on YouTube, especially youtube.com/ I'm Uncle Ron. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine.